Well, hello and welcome to church. It is good to be in church today. Welcome to all those who are watching online. And if you're in your home, if you're maybe listening to this via podcast, we just love it that we can come together with our technical means. And if you are in our room here in Lörrach, you have probably already noticed. If you haven't noticed yet, surprise, I'm not there. And that is because I've been invited to speak at a church in Switzerland now that the borders are opened up. Some good friends of ours have invited me down there, so I'm probably preaching there right now. And yet it's good just to kind of get a taste of maybe what our other locations. We are one church, and we are presently meeting in four micro locations. And so you guys are getting a little bit of a taste of kind of how it normally runs, a little bit anyways. You guys have had live worship. But in the other locations, this is kind of our new normal at the moment, and so we're glad that you're here with us. And if you're here for the first time, we just love it that you're with us. And if you don't know anything about God, you are welcome here, and we would just love to introduce you to Him and to a relationship with Jesus Christ today. I'm just going to say that right off the bat. So. We're in the middle of a series. It's called Reset. And we're taking a look, actually, I'll just start out with these two questions. These are kind of the questions we're trying to answer in this series, asking ourselves the question, what areas in my life are presently needing to be reset? Every good computer has a reset button. If you're a Mac user, an Apple user, you probably never have to use it, so maybe you don't know what that is. But if you have a PC, then you probably know exactly what that is. Just the good old jokes here with our church. And yet, you're going to need that button every once in a while, and you and I are in need of a reset at certain times of our life. And this could be a phase in our world right now where we're having to ask ourselves the question, what has gone awry in my life? What has kind of gotten off track? And so we need to allow God to kind of recalibrate us. And so we need to ask ourselves the question, what needs to be reset? And then the question, who presses that button? Who presses that reset button? And it's not going to be your cat. It's not going to be your girlfriend, but it's going to be you. It's going to be you and I, and we have to take responsibility for maybe different things that we've allowed to kind of different views on things, different things that are going on in our world that are kind of changing us. And if we're not careful, we can get off track, especially in our faith. And that's the topic here today. And so three words that we're looking at on this topic series are rhythm, discipline — that was the topic last week — and today, perspective. So what is your perspective? I'll just go ahead and ask the question today. What is your perspective of God? There are some pretty serious things going on right now. And you would have to have your head in the sand to not really identify the seriousness of our world situation right now. And last week I read a few quotes from some psychologists about the seriousness of our situation on children, on elderly, just the way that people are starting to think. And so we would be doing ourselves a favor by not underestimating what some of these things in our world are doing to us. And these are times that really test our foundations, begin to test our convictions. I'm going to use the word faith. These are the things in our world that are testing our faith. And maybe you've already noticed a little slipping in one or more areas of your convictions, and maybe you're unaware of it. And that's a pretty dangerous place to get to, is when you're not even noticing it. And yet the fact is, we need to recognize these things. We need to recognize that at any time in our lives, regardless of the chapter, our faith can slip. And the Word of God tells us that we need to, that we're responsible to, and that is to yank that thing back into place. And so in Job chapter 38, I don't have time to go into the story of Job, but it's a pretty It's a pretty intense story of a man that followed after God, and yet, even with his heart after God, he ran into some pretty extreme circumstances in his life. And here in the very beginning of this chapter, it's towards the end of the book, and you can only read this book in the full context. You have to read it from beginning to end to really get the whole gist of what it's saying here. But it's God is speaking to Job, and Job is kind of on the brink of tilting towards allowing his faith to slip, and God tells him, you got to press that reset button. He says here in verse 3, he says, pull yourself together, Job. It's the Message translation. Up on your feet. Stand tall. I have some questions for you, and I want some straight answers. Love it. Where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, since you know so much, who decided on the earth's size? Certainly you'll know that. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? And so God is basically trying to help Job to kind of jerk things back into place. And it's in times like this, right now, that we can begin to get off track. And I want us to kind of hear those words from God to Job. We need to stand up straight. We need to get on our feet, and we need to press that reset button. And there's different symptoms that we can experience. We can become passive in the midst of like a world crisis like this. When we begin to lose our perspective, we can begin to kind of lower our shoulders. We begin to get passive. That was our topic last week. Others can become prideful. Maybe your area of work, maybe the industry you're working in, your job, it's not affected one bit by the things that this world is throwing at us. And so you would say, doesn't bother me. I don't even know half of what's going on here and there, but I'm good. And we can sink into a place where we can become prideful and even lack that empathy for other people and what other people are going through in the midst of our world situation. And so our computer needs a reset. And so let's look at this word today, perspective. It's an ever so important word at times like this. It's always a relevant word for you and for me. And so let's look at the word today. I'm going to pray and we're going to really get going here. Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. Father, if there's people here that do not know you and can't say that from the bottom of their heart, Lord God, I just pray right now, Lord God, that you're convincing people of your love. I pray for open hearts right now. I pray, Lord God, that we would, as a result of your word today, Lord God, we would be able to see and know how we can get your perspective, Lord God, and that we would hunger after that, Lord God, that we would thirst after the right perspective in Jesus' name. And everybody said here in the hub together, amen and amen, and wherever you're at home too. Psalm chapter 24, I want to read here, actually pretty much the whole chapter. It's a short chapter. I'm going to read it here together. Sorry. Ich dachte, du hast zu mir gewunken von wegen. Yeah. Okay. So, merkt euch das? Ready? And amen. Psalm 24. Oh my gosh. English. Amen. Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We're going to read this whole chapter, short chapter, but we're going to come to a question here at the end, and it all has to do with perspective. The world and all its people belong to him, for God laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean's depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand on his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Verse 6, such people may seek you and worship you in your presence, O God of Jacob. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the King of glory enter. Here's the question. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord invincible in battle. Open up ancient gates, open up ancient doors, and let the glory, the King of Glory, enter. Who is this King of Glory? The question again. The Lord of Heaven's armies, he is the King of Glory. And so let me ask you this question today as we're looking at the word perspective, an important question altogether in the midst of a global crisis, but it's always a relevant question at any juncture, at any time in our lives. Who do you say this King of Glory is? Who is he to you? Because the answer to that question is going to affect everything in your life. Who is this King of Glory, writes the psalmist here. And the title of my message today, I've actually given it the title, The Proper Perspective. The Proper Perspective. Because there are all kinds of perspectives about who God is. But we need the proper perspective. We need the right perspective. And there is a right perspective. And because your question to this, your answer to this question affects everything in life, we need to get the right view of God. And in my preparation, I was thinking about a situation years ago where my wife and I, together with, we called it back then our youth group. We don't even call it a youth group anymore because I like to think of our youth as it's a movement here in our area. And yet it was a smaller group then, and a portion of this smaller group went with us to Amsterdam, and we were there on a form of missions trip, and we were right across from the central station there in downtown Amsterdam, and we were working with Youth with a Mission, YWAM, there at their base, and they had a youth center there. We called it a youth cafe, and it was kind of right at the door, right at the gate, so to say, of what is known in Amsterdam as the red light district. And it was late at night, and we were talking to some youth out there on the street, and I was finished with a talk, and I just happened to look down this long street, and way down at the end of the road, the lamplights, it was probably midnight, the lamplights at the end of the street, these dark alleys from one shadow to the other shadows on the other side of this alley, some women were moving back and forth in the shadows down there. And I think you and I know in some of these red light districts in certain cities, be it in Hamburg or to here in Amsterdam, there's some pretty crazy things that go on there, and women like that are trapped within their present reality. And I'll never forget just seeing their movement there and thinking to myself, these precious women, if they could only gain a different perspective, if they could just rise above those city streets, those dark alleys, and if they can begin to get a different perspective of the world in which they lived, but their world was so small, and God wanted to show them that their world can be so much bigger, that it could be so much greater if they would just put their trust in Him, and they could escape basically this prison in which they found themselves. And so I'm asking the question today, how does our perspective affect us in life? And here's the question, how does our view of God affect us in life? Number one, and there's four answers to this that I wrote down anyways. Number one, how does our view of God affect us? Who you believe God is always going to affect what you believe God does. I'm going to repeat that. Who do you believe God is will always determine what you believe God does. There's a little verse in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 68. And it's a short verse, but it brings it right to the point. And here the psalmist is writing, he says, "You are good." He's talking about God. "God, you are good, and you do good." And so the way that we see God is always going to affect the way that we view what God does. Do you believe that he's good? Do you believe that he's a good God? Because if you believe that, then you're going to believe that he does good things. If you have the proper perspective, you can say this in every situation. "I know, God, that you're a good God, and because you're a good God, you mean it well in the middle of my present situation, in the middle of my present reality, Lord God. Because you're good, you do good, in Jesus' name." And I was thinking actually, after a talk that I had in our small group, we call them connect groups here in our church, we had kind of the closing out of a course that we did. It was a marriage group, and it was just this last week, and we were talking, it was either before or after, and I was talking with some people there. Actually, a guy in the group, he and his wife, they just were able to purchase their own apartment, and even for their young family, and it reminded me of years ago when Melanie and I, when we were able to purchase our first home, and that was actually back in the U.S., and it reminded me of how God can prove himself that he's a good God and that he does good things. And here's the point. I don't know who this is, but our topic was that God is a God that is faithful even in the small beginnings. Why? Because he sees the end from the beginning. And so we can know, if we have a proper perspective of God, I'll get to the point here, when we have a proper perspective of God, we know in our small beginnings, our very first house, in the middle of probably one of the worst neighborhoods in this big city where we were going to Bible school, drug dealers left and right, some really interesting people across the street, and we bought an old house. We fixed it up, renovated it, and within 2 years, we were able to flip that house and have some good earnings, which really helped us to move ourselves here to Germany, and that was our small beginning. And then when we got here to Germany, years after we were here, we had the opportunity with no down payment, with no money in our bank, really. God just basically opened up the banker's heart, and we were able to get a loan for our very first house, a tiny little house. It was actually a double house, 80 square meters, and completely dilapidated. We had to fix the whole thing up, invest a lot of, that's where these guns come from, baby. I'm just kidding. And we just invested a whole lot of time into that house, and after 4 years, God really blessed us with how he does things. Because God is good, he does good things. And that's the perspective that we can get from God, able to sell it. And we stood in the middle, just a few days ago, in the middle of our living room, talking to this young couple. And I was just able to witness once again, God, because you are good, you do good things. And so we should not, there's a little verse in the Old Testament, we should not despise the small beginnings, because God always sees the end from the beginning. And so in your present reality, it could be that you're despising these small beginnings, maybe in your situation, maybe you're newly married, and maybe you're starting out, and you're looking out maybe at other friends, and they're projecting or taking off in life, and you're like, God is good, and he's going to do good things in your life in Jesus' name. And so let's keep moving here. Number two, how does our view of God affect us? The way that we see God is going to affect how we approach God, how we draw close to him. Let me just say this. The way that you worship God is going to be affected by the way that you see God. The way that you pray to God is going to be affected by the way that you see God. Your perspective changes or determines the way that you approach God. There's an Old Testament figure. His name is Jabez, and there's only about three verses total in the Old Testament that mention anything about this man. The only thing that we know is what his name is and what his name means, and that his name means actually pain, because it says that because his mother bore him by birth with great pain, and so she named him Pain. She named him Jabez. How's that for a great start in life? Anyways, the point is, the way that we see God is going to affect the way that we approach God, the way that we pray, either bold prayers, the way that we approach him in faith, knowing that he is a good God, he's going to do great things. Jabez, even though his name was meant pain, he had the right perspective of God. And I love this bold prayer right here. Here it says in verse 10, he was the one who prayed to God, to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me, that you would not only bless me, but that you would expand my territory. Please be with me, God, in all that I do, and keep me from all trouble and pain. and God granted him his request. The way that you see God is going to affect the way that you approach God. And Jabez knew it. He approached God with a boldness in his heart because he knew how good this God is, and God proved himself strong on his behalf. Number three, the way that we see God is always going to affect something. And so here, number three, how you believe God is going to determine how you believe God or who you believe God uses. How you believe God is going to determine who you believe God uses. I don't know who that's for. Our topic last week, we were talking about discipline, but it had a lot to do with our calling. And we said very clearly, I believe that too many people are letting their callings slip in this season of our world right now. And we cannot let that happen. You and I are called for such a time as this. And the way that we see God, the way that we view God, and he's a God that does not change, the same yesterday, today, in the middle of a global crisis, and the same forever, the same yesterday, today, present circumstances, present reality, and the same forever. Who we believe God is going to determine who we believe God uses. Do you believe that God can use you? Do you believe that God's hand is upon your life? Let me just say this, our perspective here makes a huge difference. There's a classic story in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel. We read the anointing of the first king of Israel. Actually, it's the second king, sorry. Saul became the first king, and God said, rejected him because his heart wasn't in the right place. And so God wants to anoint now David to become king of Israel. And so the prophet Samuel comes to the house, and the man Jesse and his sons, and the one son, big old boy, had some of these, been working on houses, been working out in the fields or whatever. Eliab was his name, and the prophet says, my goodness, from my perspective, that's the new king of Israel. Wasn't the case. Why? Because our perspective of God, our view of God is always going to project upon us how we see what we believe who God is going to use. God wants to use everybody. It doesn't matter who you are. God has his giftings and his callings, and they're without repentance, and he's placed them on the inside of you. And so here in this story, I love it. Samuel took one look at Eliab, the other brother, and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way that you see them. Perspective. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So you and I, sometimes we can get so fixed on the wrong perspective. Situations begin to dictate to us in certain situations. And we begin to believe the lies of the enemy. We begin to believe the lies of circumstance, that they want to speak to our situation, convince us that we cannot be used by Almighty God. Well, I'm here to tell you today that is not true, and we need to hit the reset button on that point in Jesus' name. Number four, who you believe God is will determine what follows you in life. This is a big one. The psalmist said in Psalm 23, David said, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. There it is. The way that we see God is going to determine what follows us in life. And that was in the midst of, I don't know if you guys know what David all faced, but he was hunted like a dog through the whole territory there of Israel, and had to hide in caves. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that. It could be you've experienced something like that, but I seriously doubt it in our time and age here. And so in the midst of those types of situations, David wrote this down. He says, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. And so in the middle of disappointments, in the middle of tragedies, and I don't wish that upon any of us, but it could be we're gonna come into even more difficult circumstances. We do not know, but we know our God, because our perspective is held secure because we're diligent to do that and not let things slip, we know that disillusionment is going to try and sink in. We're going to have to press that reset button. We're responsible to do that, and it's very important that we do that. I read an article this last week in the German newspaper that comes to our area. It's called the Wochenblatt, and speaking about restaurant owners, and how. A lot of them are just basically facing this present reality because of the closing of their restaurants during the lockdowns and everything. And so here they were with a couple of doctors in one of our local communities here, and just basically reporting here. And the word that they used, these doctors, regarding the state that some of these restaurant owners were in, is that they had no more. Perspective. It's in German here. I can't read it. And yet that is the case for a lot of people out there, depending on what your present reality is. But here's the thing. David speaks of, if we read earlier on in the psalm, he speaks of green pastures. He speaks of still waters. You lead me beside the still waters. You prepare a table before me in the midst of my enemies. And yet he was hiding out in caves, and he's talking about green pastures and still waters. Where does that come from? It comes from a proper perspective, knowing who your God is. So it doesn't matter what you and I can face in life, the closing of a restaurant, or you're a mother and you're at home with your three kids and you're trying to work on the side and still teach your kids and all of these different aspects of a difficult situation, and God says, I've got it. Do we have that perspective? So I want to close here with three points, three very important points about how you and I can gain, obtain, or maintain the proper perspective. Number one, very, very important, a proper understanding of our position is going to lead to a proper perspective. I'm going to repeat that. How do we gain the proper perspective? A proper understanding of our position. That's a lot of P's. It's a lot of P's, but I think we got it here. How do we gain the proper perspective? It's a proper understanding of our position. That's the key word here. And understanding your position in life before God, where am I at in history, is so vital. Let me explain. God of the Old Testament, it's the same God today. But here you had Adam and Eve, and they sinned, and there was the fall of man, and sin separated us from God. And then God gave the law to the people of Israel, and they were under the law, and it was like a heavy blanket over them. And then the prophets came and said, "There's a Messiah that's going to come. His name is going to be Jesus." And so Jesus came, and he lived 33 years, and he taught, and then he died on a cross for you and for me, and then he rose again after 3 days, and then he went back up into heaven. And then came the age of the church, where people could receive forgiveness of sins in light of their belief that God sent his son Jesus to die for our sins. Why do I say all of that? Amidst this whole timeline, your position and your understanding of your position, where are you on that timeline, determines so much about the way that you see your God and your view of things in your present reality. If you are facing confusion and hopelessness situations in your life and you haven't read your Bible in weeks or months or even a year, and you're like, I gotta read the Bible and maybe I'll get some hope. And so you open up your Bible and you land somewhere amidst one of the prophets, maybe in Daniel in the Old Testament, and it's gloom and doom, and you're wanting hope, and where are you going to go with that? You have to understand, where are you on that timeline? You're in the age of grace. You're in the age of the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and you can walk with God by faith. You can be saved by grace. And out of this perspective, the proper position, you can live and even thrive in the midst of calamity in Jesus' name. So understanding your position is vital. If you and I have a poor understanding of our position before God, we'll have a hard time when the times are hard. So it's necessary that you and I have a proper perspective. So how do we gain the proper perspective? Through Spirit-breathed revelation. That's the big word here. We had position, and here's the word revelation. And I want to emphasize, it has to be, revelation is Spirit-breathed. I ask myself the question, how do I explain the word revelation? How do I explain the word revelation? And then I just basically came down to this one word, and it's a knowing. It's a knowing. You ever heard somebody say, I just know that I know that I know? That's a revelation. That's a revelation. And when it comes to the truths of God, we need a revelation. And only through meditating on God's word does revelation come. Only through time spent in his presence does a revelation come. When this whole pandemic started several months ago, I meditated on certain verses, just for me personally. And then in my leadership of this church, this verse really stuck out to me, and it's the first one that kind of came, and I just chewed on that, and I meditated on it, and it's in Psalm 121. Maybe you can remember us reading this verse several times together, and here the psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He won't do it. He won't let your foot slip. If you have the proper perspective, if you cling to him, he who watches over you will not slumber. What's your view of God? What's your perspective? Do you have a God-breathed, a Spirit-breathed revelation in your heart that only comes through meditating on, I'm going to use the word, holy word of God. God's word given to you and I. There's no substitute for this. There's no substitute on meditating on his word, filling yourself, experiencing his word for yourself, that it's yours. It's yours. It's your property. It's your very own. I could still remember the first time I really began to really dive into the word of God. I was raised in a Christian home, and yet it was when I went off to university, and it was in our summer breaks from university. I still see where I'm at in my parents' living room there in our old house there on Washington Avenue, and I remember what books I was reading. I went through the Gospels, and I remember underlining things for the first time and writing things down, and I was feeding my spirit, I was feeding myself to gain the proper perspective of who God is. And you know what? I think back, and that was time well invested, because a knowing came. I didn't spend my whole summer playing computer games. Just thought I'd put that out there. I spent most of my summer working and meditating on God's word. And I'll never regret it. I probably played a little bit of Miss Pac-Man in between, for those that are a little bit old school. But let me ask you this. Does God have all kinds of perspectives on things? Do we serve a God that sometimes he has a perspective that's different in this situation, in this situation? It's important that we see things from God's perspective. We've already defined that. God, I want to see things like you see them. But does he have multiple perspectives and opinions? And the answer to that is no. He's God, and he's not, schizophrenic. He has standards and clarity on what his perspective is. And we need a foundation in our life that is rooted and grounded in his perspective. And we have to have solid convictions based on his word. Just can't stress that enough. Meditating on his word. You and I get a proper perspective through God-breathed, inspired, a knowing, a revelation. Number three, and I'm closing with this point. How do we gain the proper perspective? By learning to die to self. By learning to die to self. kind of went back and forth. Should I close on this one? It's a little bit more of a harder one. But when your eyes, when my eyes are only on ourselves, our own desires, our own pursuits, but I want this, and I'm only after this, and God's not even in the perspective. If we're thinking about a picture, if we're thinking about a frame, I'm looking into a camera right now, and the frame of reference. Where is the main focus right now? If God's not even on the picture, then we're in trouble. And so we have to ask ourselves a question, and sometimes press that reset button. God, if I haven't left you off the picture, is I need to die to self. And have we done that? Maybe once and for all, but you know what? It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. We have to die to self in order to maintain the proper perspective. The only foundation for God is God. You and I did not create God. God created us. And so he needs to be in the middle of the focus of the picture. And so we need to learn to die to self and put him in the main focus of our lives. And only then will he begin to pour out our blessings in our lives. And he'll begin to bless us in ways that we'll look back years from those decisions that we made then, and we'll see so clearly how God has blessed us in Jesus' name. So we have to die to self, and every time we do, we're pushing that reset button, and we're resetting that hard drive. We're putting him back in the middle of the picture, whatever example you want to use, but that's exactly what happens. And we're able to view things again from a clear, from a godly perspective. In Mark chapter 8, last verses I want to read here, a blind man came to Jesus. And here in verse 22, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. They begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took that blind man by the hand, led him out of the village. Then, spitting on the man's eyes, love it, love it. Jesus was just so awesome. Spit on the man's eyes. He laid his hands on him and asked, "Can you see anything now?" Interesting. Listen to this real quick. The man looked around. "Yes," he said. He was blind. And he answers, "Yes, I see people, but I can't see them very clearly." Perspective. "They look like trees walking around." Well, how many of you and I know that that's not a complete 100% godly perspective? He wants us to be able to see in the natural, also spiritually. Verse 25, "Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly." Perspective. Where do you need a reset? It's an important question today. God wants us to see his ways clearly. And that's my prayer for us in this season. That's my prayer for you today in Jesus' name. I want to pray for us together right here in this place, right here where we're at here in the hub. If you're watching via YouTube, love to pray with you right now that God can do a reset of our perspective today in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you that you are a good God and that you do good. You are good and you do good. And I pray, Lord God, that proper perspective would be gained today, would begin to seep down into our hearts in Jesus' name. Lord God, I thank you for a knowing. I thank you for a revelation in Jesus' name. And I also thank you, Lord God, for a willing desire to die to self in Jesus' name. And if there's people here in this place or online, Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that decisions are being made right now, Lord, where they know that you have been completely removed from the picture. They've allowed certain things to come and take your place, or maybe they've never made that final decision to allow you to be the center of focus in Jesus' name. So I'd love to pray for you where you're at right now if you've never made that final decision to make him Lord of your life, that he would be center focus, So right where you're at, you can just close your eyes. You can come before him right now in prayer. An honest heart before God. He'll never turn that away. Let's pray here together. You can pray this prayer where you're at. You say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you and I recognize that I'm a sinner. I've done things wrong and I need you, and I need you to come on the inside of me and make me new. Would you be my God? Would you forgive me of my sins? And I accept your sacrifice on the cross for my sins. I thank you, God, that you're good and that you lead me on from here. And I thank you that as of today, I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, or you repeated that prayer maybe for the 10th time and you just wanted to come back to God today, show him you have a soft heart towards him, we would love to hear from you, hear of your decision. If you need prayer in any way, maybe a prayer request, something that you're carrying in your life, there's a contact card, a link here on the screen. You can click on that and you can let us know of ways that we can help you. We would love to just help people like you in their lives in Jesus' name. That's why we're a church. And especially in this season, we would feel it a privilege to be able to help you. And so wherever you're at and whatever you're doing this week, we wish you a fantastic week. The best is yet to come in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.